important that you do your part right now to financially support this incredible independent community radio station that is KABU. Pick up your phone and dial 877-500-5266. Online, you can grab us at kboo.fm, or you can come on in, 20 Southeast 8th, just between Burnside and Ankeny, on beautiful, scenic, somewhat navigable Southeast 8th Street between the two giant lakes. Come on in, meet the people that make the radio happen behind the microphones, and you can get a tour of the station and find out exactly how we put your resources to use. Your resources, which will be doubled right now when you call 877-500-5266. Thanks to a generous contribution matching the first $500 that comes in right now. 877-500-5266.
In the interest of full disclosure, it's actually $250 that's being matched, but I'm not trying to quibble. I want to make sure, because we are trying to get the most truth out that we can, and we want to do that as well as we can. 877-500-KBOO to support the nation's nimblest newscast. Remember, this is a labor of love. Chris Andre and indeed thousands of other volunteers come in here on their own time and their own dime in order to make an impact on the community, to positively affect your right to know, to ensure that the public airwaves remain owned by us, the public, to be sure that we have access to our own airwaves. It is not hyperbolic to say you are an activist, a radio activist. No matter how much you give, when you call up and introduce yourself and get counted, that's what you're doing right now. You can do that online at kboo.fm. You don't leave money on the table in your home, in your business, in your community. Please don't let KABU leave money on the table either. 877-500-5266. Never have such modest contributions amounted to such grand achievements. Over 23 million commercial-free minutes and counting. We're trying to incentivize you. We're trying to bring you along to become a stakeholder, because it sounds different when you're a stakeholder, all right? 877-500-KBOO on the very last day of our membership drive. We're looking for the heroes right now. Ani and I are the humble supplicants, and those reaching our voice are the heroes. 877-500-KBOO.
This is your moment to shine. You know you can't be neutral on a moving train. This is your time to actually participate in this part of history that involves community radio, that involves your access to independent thought, your access to independent information that is brought to you without corporate fetters. This is your time to participate. 877-500-5266. When you give us that call and you let us know that you're there and that you care about social change, that you share KABU's values, that you are a part of this community, you get to decide how much you can afford to support KABU and work it into your monthly budget. Can you do $10 a month? Please call right now and let us know you're there and that you will, in fact, contribute $10 every month to KABU through an electronic funds transfer program. It's automatic. You can do it from your credit card. You can do it from your checking account. We just ask that you do it right now. 877-500-5266.
You tune into KABU because here's where you hear the voices that let you know you're not alone and you're not crazy. Well, at least if you are crazy, you're not alone in being crazy, that you're not the only one who's angry at climate destruction. You're not the only one who's angry about people being shot down in the streets. You're not the only one who's ready to see an economic model that feeds rather than steals. Please call right now. 877-500-KBOO.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Ani. This is KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Locus Focus with your host, the inimitable Barbara Bernstein. So keep it locked right here while you make that call at 877-500-5266.
Good morning and welcome to Locus Focus. I'm Barbara Bernstein, your host for this weekly conversation about our place on the planet. Lately, we've been hearing a lot about microbes and the power of probiotics for intestinal health. While gut health is a trendy topic, gardening's connection to microbiomes and the food we eat is often overlooked. This morning, we'll talk about this connection as we get a whirlwind tour with the microbiology of soil in the human body. My guest is biologist Anne B. Clay, co-author of The Hidden Half of Nature, The Microbiobial Roots of Life and Health. Anne is a biologist and gardener and lives in Seattle with her husband and collaborator, David Montgomery, who's on a plane right now, so he's not going to be joining us. Anne, welcome to Locus Focus.
Thank you.
I found it very interesting in your book, the way you connect the microbiological life that goes on in the soil that we plant in and the same microbes or related microbes in our body. And I wanted to start by talking about what you discovered in your soil when you decided to turn a rather barren backyard in your house in North Seattle into a garden.
Sure. When we began, we peeled almost a 100-year-old lawn off of our lot. And if you go to our website, which is dig2grow.com, there's a picture of what this soil looked like beforehand. And it was sort of khaki, sandy colored. Of course, because of the glacial history of Seattle, it was filled with rocks. And we ran into glacial till, maybe 6-8 inches down. And as a gardener, this was not at all an ideal situation for me. And I knew that some organic matter was what we needed. And we had busted our budget on plants. And so the next best thing was to lay my hands on anything I could nearby in the neighborhood. So that turned out to be loads of coffee grounds, oak leaves, wood chips from arborist trucks. And after a couple of years, lo and behold, we began to see changes in our soil. The texture was improved, the color became darker, and while we both sort of basically understood the process of organic matter decomposition, we didn't have any idea how quickly all of this was going to change our soil. And so several, more seasons passed, and the soil just got better and better, and it brought indeed life to our garden. And this was when we began with the idea of maybe writing a book about this. And if you look at all into any microbiology, and especially these days, we know about the human microbiome. And that just quite simply is a fancy word for the microbial communities that are indigenous to our bodies inside and out. And not just our bodies, but the bodies of every organism on this planet, every plant, every amoeba, every fish, every bird. And what it turns out is that by far, most of these microbial communities help us rather than harm us.
Well, I think it's a fascinating process to watch food scraps and organic garbage turn into soil. And I've had that experience myself as a gardener. And after trying to compost for many years and not knowing what I was doing, I lived next door to a young woman who was actually studying soil ecology at college, and she started composting, and I watched her and learned. And amazingly, it doesn't take very long for compost to turn into soil. It's another whole stage, though, when you take a yard. This is another thing I just wanted you to repeat from your book. You described the process by which the glacial till of Seattle soils was transformed over millennia, probably more than millennia, tens of thousands of years, into a thin layer of topsoil. And unlike here in Portland, where the glaciers never quite reached, and then we had the benefit of the Missoula floods for a couple thousand years that kept depositing topsoil here, we have feet of topsoil. But you describe how your predecessor in your house basically undid lots and lots of geologic time in a very short period. And what did you mean by that?
Yeah. What we meant by that was that so as urbanization hit Seattle, what happened was that the glaciers came, they steamrollered everything, so it was like this giant compactor going over the soil. As the glaciers retreated and vegetation started to come back onto the land, it eventually ended up adding a whole lot of organic matter to the soil. So consider that, anything from Douglas fir needles to big leaf maple leaves, and even down beneath the surface too, dead roots, we're adding organic matter.
Actually, another thing I'll add is the bodies of salmon.
Ah, yes. And if you're anywhere near any waterway, certainly salmon carcasses were a big nutrient source. So here we are in Seattle, you know, tens of thousands of years ago, building up a nice layer of topsoil after all of the glacial history. Then urbanization hits and bulldozers, other heavy equipment came into Seattle, knocked the trees down, probably as in Portland as well, long ago, and scraped that topsoil off in order to build houses. And in our case, our house is older, about 1918 is when it was built, but it's got a basement. So they needed to do something with all of this basement soil when the house was built. So they took it and they piled it up in one corner of the yard. So we have one section that is kind of topsy-turvy. And then in general, topsoil gets scraped away, especially in with modern building methods, because it's not good for holding foundations and so forth. So our building practices end up taking away something that takes a long time to develop, and then here we gardeners are frantically trying to rebuild our topsoil.
Well, what's interesting to me is I learned this from some farmers in the Willamette Valley that you can take great soil, like the great soil in the Willamette Valley, and destroy it through heavy uses of chemical pesticides and fertilizers and other bad agricultural practices. And then you can take that lifeless soil and return it to life through the practices that you're describing. And it is an amazingly fast process. Why do you think it is as fast as it is? And it doesn't take as long it didn't take you nearly as long to return topsoil to your backyard as it took the topsoil originally to return after the glaciers receded.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think it has to do with some of our most degraded and depauperate soils don't have much in the way of microbial life, but they have some. And so when you start feeding the microbes in the soil with organic matter, you are going to get an explosion of growth and exploding populations. So you can sort of maybe picture it like you've had these, you know, we all can envision that picture of baby birds in a nest with mouths open, and maybe our microbes are a little bit like that down beneath our feet. So once you start feeding them, they grow like gangbusters. And because microbes have such a short lifespan, they can rapidly reproduce and they almost sort of instantaneously can respond to different kinds of nutrient inputs.
Well, you describe in your book how you put all this organic matter into your yard and it would disappear. What happened to it?
Yeah. You know, that's what sort of got us going on this whole thing. I mean, I am not kidding. I brought tons of organic matter into the yard, wheelbarrow after wheelbarrow, and I felt so good about it. I'd layer it on the beds maybe 4-6 inches in say spring, and I thought, oh man, I'm set for the season. This will be great. I'm not going to have to do this again for another year. And then, come around mid-July, I'm out there looking at the beds, and this stuff is deflated like a souffle, and I'm just thinking, where is this going? So call the geologist in, husband Dave, co-author Dave, and he's not really exactly sure either. I mean, we both know at a high level that, yes, it's breaking down and decomposing, but we really don't know the details, like what is actually decomposing this. And more, what we wanted to know is decomposing it into what and where is it going? And that's what led us into the microbiology world.
And we'll find out more about this in just a moment. This is a little cliffhanger. We're talking this morning with Anne B. Clay, who is a biologist and co-author of a book called The Hidden Half of Nature, The Microbial Roots of Life and Health. And we're going to talk now with Justin, who is going to tell you about the kind of organic matter you might be able to spread on KBOO that will help us to nurture all the healthy they're not really microbes. Let's figure out some kind of radio analogy for what that would be.
How about nutrient? How about this is the kind of support that actually does grow on trees. It's made of paper. And we're asking you to participate right now by calling 877-500-5266. It's Locus Focus. This is destination programming on the very last day of our winter membership drive. And we are in a matching period right now for a little more than a half an hour. The next $250 that come in from our generous contributors is going to be matched. So please Call right now, 877-500-5266. That's what Gary did in Portland. He renewed and started a new monthly membership. Thank you so much. If 10 of you could start that $5 a month contribution, that would amount to $60, and it would be matched into $120, and if you're a new member, it's going to be matched again because of matching December. Don't leave any money. That's triple the impact of your support, and it says a big thank you to Barbara Bernstein. 877-500-5266. Barbara, you do this on your own time and your own dime.
I certainly do. I think that description you just had of that triple match really sounds like those microbes in Ann's soil. And you can play your part in really increasing the nutrient value of KBOO by calling right now at 877-500-5266.
You know what, Barbara? It's got 1,000% of your recommended daily allowance of truth, information, music, power, and empowerment. There's a reason to call 877-500-KBOO. That's what Bill, Jeffrey, and Prisa did, all in Portland, all renewed. Thank you so much. And we are in a matching period right now. It's like everything that gives gets it blooms. It blossoms.
It'll look like Anne's garden if you call right now at 877-500-5266. Or you can go online at kboo.fm and click the donate button and become a member that way. And if you were to join, and you are about to join, for at least a $60 minimum pledge, you can get a copy of this book that Anne and her husband Dave wrote, The Hidden Half of Nature, which I will say, from having been spending the last couple of weeks reading this book, it's an amazing book. I learned more about microbiology than from anything else I've ever read. And I've been reading a lot about this to do this show for the last few years. So we will, this is one of the possibilities. There's many possibilities when you call 877-500-5266 or click on kboo.fm. There's many possibilities of helping KBOO and helping the community, but you can also get a little help yourself by getting a copy of this book. Again, The Hidden Half of Nature by David R. Montgomery and Anne B. Clay. We're back here talking with Anne B. Clay now, who is the author or co-author of The Hidden Half of Nature. And we've been talking about the positive impacts that microbes have on the soil and also on our bodies. And one thing that really fascinated me in reading this book, it's not just about the wonderful odyssey of Anne discovering how to make a barren plot of land in Seattle become a verdant garden, but it's also a history of the study and the science of microbiology and all the discoveries that were made by innumerable people. One that fascinated me the most was the sort of the conflict back in the 19th century and going well into the 20th century of, you know, what is the greatest force that shaped life on Earth and evolution? Is it Darwin's kind of survival of the fittest, which is a cliche of Darwin, he's more complicated than that, but the belief that every organism on the planet is like in competition with everybody else to survive, or is there a cooperative strain? And I wanted to talk about this woman that you talk about in the book who I'd never heard of, who was really during the 70s and 80s pioneering this this theory that she thought she had a lot of evidence for, that life on Earth evolved as much or more due to cooperation rather than competition.
Yeah, that's right. You're talking about Lynn Margulis, and she was an extraordinary woman and an extraordinary biologist. Of all things, she did her graduate work in the 1960s, in part at UC Berkeley, and it was here that you would think there would be open minds about new ideas, but what Lynn encountered there was some sort of closed minds. She thought she saw evidence for the merging of different microbial life forms to that ended up creating multicellular life. She thought she had genetic evidence for that. She had paleontology evidence for that, geological evidence for that. And there's a passage in the book that talks about her experience in bringing these sort of disparate threads together and trying to talk with all these separate disciplines about this. And she learned that indeed the paleontologist did not talk to the geneticist, did not talk to the microbiologist. Nonetheless, undaunted, Lynn Margulis went on ended up at the University of Massachusetts, and she had this theory that she came to name symbiogenesis. And so those two words, it's a combination of symbiotic and genesis. So sort of the origin of mutually beneficial relationships. And she was just quite a biologist too. She was enamored with and incredibly knowledgeable about all of the tiniest life forms, both microbial life forms, bacteria and so on, but also this huge group of life that is called the protists. And so those would be things like amoebas and paramecium and some of this so-called pond scum. And in fact, what the symbiogenesis theory tells us is that a long, long time ago, billions of years ago, before there was any multicellular life at all, you had these microbes that are hanging around in the ocean and in watery areas, not quite up on the land yet. And imagine this. You get one kind of bacterium that really doesn't have any motility. It can't really move. It's kind of stuck in place. It just lets things come to it. You've got another kind of bacterium that's sort of a swimmer type. And the swimmer meets the sedentary type, and one or the other decides, let's hang around together and see what's happening. It may also have been, and Margulis is very clear about this, she says, this isn't, you know, some kind of harmonious thing. There was often probably, some conflict and violence around this, but in the end, truces were built, and those truces led to cooperation. So it began with this mobile, the swimmer one, hooking up with the sedentary one, and that was the first microbial merger.
Now, did they actually, I mean, how do they merge? Did one swallow the other? Or, I mean, they don't have mouths or anything like that.
Exactly. Well, with the swimmer, they think the swimmer attached onto the outside of this sedentary one. But you let another half a billion years or so pass, and there was a third bacterium that joined this first duo. And the third bacterium was an oxygen breather. And so being able to breathe oxygen was this whole new energy source. So you had the oxygen breather join the one that can now move, and it's a way of exploiting a new energy source. And today we know that the descendants of that merger are the mitochondria that power the cells in all of our of our bodies, plants, and so on. More time passes, a long time. Now you have that three-part job coming along, and there's another bacterium that has acquired the ability to photosynthesize, to be able to live off of sunlight. So it meets this other merger and goes off to become eventually the plant kingdom. And the descendants of that photosynthetic bacterium are the chloroplasts that are found in plants and in some kinds of algae. And most recently, if you want to talk about one of the wildest sort of symbiotic life forms around, there's a sea slug that has chloroplasts as part of the sea slug. So this is a marine organism, an animal that can photosynthesize. So that's where we are today with symbiogenesis.
Another thing that's really interesting is what these bacteria exude, whether it's in your garden, how the relationship that they have. This is like maybe another kind of symbiotic relationship that we have. And actually, I think we're going to get to this in just a moment. This scientist went up and said we've only had a few seconds left before the next pitch. So I think we'll move to it right now, actually, because we got a big subject coming up. One of the things that we're talking about today is about symbiotic relationships. And I think that there's probably no better example of a symbiotic relationship that I can think of outside of the microbial kingdom than the relationship between KBOO and our listener supporters. And Justin's here to describe that. Yes, I'm ready for you, Justin.
Wow. Usually only my mommy tells me that. Thank you so much. It is the mighty 90.7. It's Locus Focus. And my name is Justin. And it's the last day of our membership drive. And we're in a matching period. That's a lot of information. But all you need to remember is that your money can be doubled or tripled at no extra effort on your part. All you need to do is pick up your phone and make a gift to yourself, to your family, to your friends, to your village. 877-500-5266 to say thank you to Barbara Bernstein and all of our ambassadors, our political and cultural ambassadors that take you on this radio university every hour of every day. Won't you call right now and show a little support? 877-500-5266. That's what Marilyn in Portland did. She renewed. Thank you so much. Dave increased his membership, and he is in... I can't see. Well, maybe he's in Corvallis. I can't see. Oh, he's in Cornelius. Thank you. Dave upped his membership. Now up yours, dear listener. 877-500-5266. Roger in Beaverton renewed. Thank you so much. And Jim started a new monthly membership, and he's a new member. That money is getting doubled, possibly even tripled. Peggy in Portland, thank you. You guys are all pointing the way to the rest of the listeners, 90% of whom haven't called. Today is your day. Now is the time. You said, I'm going to wait till it'll really make an impact. Well, now's your time. 877-500-5266. As I said, Barbara, you do this on your own time and your own dime, but there is one thank you gift that you get and all of our programmers get, and that's making your program goal. 877-500-KBOO to say thank you to the mighty 90.7. Now, you've been doing this for some time, Barbara, but that makes you seasoned, experienced, right?
I guess that's one way of putting it.
Yes.
But I do feel, actually, I think that I've learned so much doing this show on KBOO, and I've learned a lot. I learned a lot about radio, first of all, just because I learned about radio when I first got involved with KBOO many, many years ago. And in doing this show, it's not just an opportunity for me to share with you some pretty interesting people like Ann Beclay, who we have here today, but I feel that... it's been a gift to me to talk with all these people, to meet some of them, to be able to read their books, to share, to learn about the work that they're doing, and then to be able to share it on the air. And that sharing process is every bit as phenomenal as the learning process. So I feel like I have a great thank you to KBOO myself for being having this time on the air for all these years to do this show. And I thank the listeners who've all supported us, those of you who have supported the show and supported KBOO through all these years. And you can, I'm thinking about all those people who just came to Portland. You know, how many thousands of you just moved here last week? and welcome to the rain. But for those of you who just discovered KBOO, and I remember that feeling 44 years ago when I came to Portland and I discovered KBOO and actually walked in the door and did a program the next day because things were different then. But it's an incredible discovery when you turn to 90.7 and you listen to stuff that sounds so much more relevant to your life than anything else you're going to hear on the dial. The next response you need to have, especially if we're in a pledge drive, is to give a call. And right now the number is 877-500-5266. Or if you actually have a job, I guess more people have jobs who come to Portland now than they did when I moved here, when there was no work. So if you're at work and you can't make a phone call, you can always just go to kboo.fm and click on the donation button and become a member that way.
See, one of the transformations, Barbara, just to follow up on that, one of the transformations is that these voices that used to be other are no longer other because our listeners are hearing them, and that growth, that transformation is happening with every hour. And that's a reason to call 877-500-KBOO. There are a lot of reasons we know you give for your reasons, listeners, and we're reminding you of them. Thousands and thousands of reasons we have given you over these years. I'll get out of the way here. We'll do a little more Locus Focus and come back and check in. But in the meantime, I've got a couple of phone lines open. It is a matching period, and your money can be doubled or tripled when you call 877-500-KBOO.
And I'm just going to remind you that also, if you donate for $60 or more as a thank you gift, we're going to be very happy to offer you a copy of Anna Beclay's book, The Hidden Half of Nature, The Microbial Roots of Life and Health, that we're talking about today. And again, the number to call is 877-500-5266. But back talking with Anna Beclay, who is author of The Hidden Nature the hidden half of nature, the microbial roots of life and health. And we were talking about symbiotic relationships and how actually us as human beings and all probably all plant and animal life and much more microbial life on this planet is a result of symbiotic joinings, connections. But the other symbiotic relationship that I find really fascinating that you describe in wonderful detail in your book is the relationship between microbes and plants in the soil, and then microbes and our gut. So let's first talk about the microbial relationship to the plants growing in your garden, and then we'll move on to our gut after that.
Sure. Yeah, it's very interesting what goes on in the soil. And we humans are such visual creatures with our eyes, and it really handicaps us when it comes to both, I think, choosing to study something, and then once you choose that, if it's too difficult to see, somebody may go into another field. But what's going on beneath our feet is utterly, utterly important and significant. And when you take a look at the root system of a plant, I almost wish that we could take plants and turn them upside down just for a moment so we could see all their roots in their glory up above the ground with our eyes. But fortunately, we can't. But here's what's going on. A root of a plant is an incredibly active, dynamic place. Both and mostly right on the root surface, because if you think about it, you've got a plant that's thrusting these roots out into the soil, looking for food, anchoring itself to the ground, and so on. Turns out there is this zone right around the surface of a root that's called a rhizosphere. Rhizo is, I believe it's either Latin or Greek for root, and sphere, we all know, an area or a zone. And in the rhizosphere, you will have plants that take anywhere from 30 to 40% of the sugars that they produce through photosynthesis, and they send those sugars out of their roots. Now you have to ask yourself, why? Why would a plant be giving away stuff that it has made through photosynthesis? It'd be like KBOO taking all your pledge money and going somewhere else and saying, hey, we got some free money here, and handing it out. You guys aren't going to do that. But here's what has been discovered about this. All of those carbohydrates, those sugars that a plant sends out its roots, attract microbes. And not just any old microbes, but very specific communities of microbes. They flock to these sugars and carbohydrates. It's like an overflowing banquet table. And I don't know about you, but if I had somebody showing up at my house every night with dinner, I'd say, yeah, I'll take that. I'm not going to go out foraging or looking for something. And so that's where all of these sugars are going. But what plants get in return for that are all of these metabolites that the microbes are making. And the microbes make these metabolites from things that they break that are a result of organic matter decomposition. So what you basically have here is this grand, grand underground economy whereby the roots of plants and microbial communities are constantly, incessantly exchanging things. And it's not only nutrition, but it's a lot of chemical signaling. This was really interesting. This really blew Dave and I away when we came across this. Say above ground, you have a plant and you have some kind of a bug, an herbivore that's munching on a plant leaf. Plants are very responsive to things like this, and they will send chemical signaling down to the root system. And that chemical signaling is alerting microbes, hey, I've got this above ground herbivore that's munching on my leaves. I need to do something about this. Bacteria are able to produce compounds in the soil, in the rhizosphere, make those compounds accessible to a plant that then sends that compound up to the leaf that deters the herbivore, sends it scurrying off to go find some other plant that maybe doesn't have such a great microbial community in the soil that's making this compound to spread it around systemically. So this is just utterly unlike anything anybody thought was going on in the soil.
Well, this is interesting. It's really a contradiction to the general 20th century and probably still 21st century notion that soils only needed basically what, three substances to thrive: phosphorus, potassium, and
nitrogen.
Nitrogen, right.
You got it.
The big ones. And if all you needed to do was to isolate them chemically in the process of making explosives, basically, and then package them up and as fertilizer and just spread it all over the soil, and then you can just grow and grow and grow and grow, as opposed to having to rotate your crops and let crops be fallow and things that made agriculture much more complicated in the older days. But what's the fallacy when you, or what happens when you rely on chemical inputs as opposed to just letting the soil and the plants have their own interactions?
Yeah. We sort of liken the NPK, the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium to macronutrients, maybe somewhat like proteins, carbohydrates, and fats. These are the fundamental basic things that that we all need, us on those carbohydrates and so forth, but plants on these three big nutrients. But as it turns out, plants also need micronutrients. And so these are things that are needed, but in minute quantities, far less than the quantities of NP and K. And so these are elements found in the soil, like calcium or magnesium or manganese or zinc or copper. Those are all micronutrients. And in the plant world, many of these micronutrients plants use to make what are called phytochemicals. And phytochemicals have, we're learning a lot more about them these days. They, for example, the blue of a blueberry is a certain kind of phytochemical. The polyphenols that are found in red wine are another kind of phytochemical. And plants aren't making these phytochemicals so much for us. These phytochemicals are a part of their defensive strategy in many cases. And so that's where you really need to be thinking about micronutrients. When you just dump the big three in, you're not making any of those micronutrients accessible. But the microbes have ways of solubilizing some of these micronutrients, or in the case of fungi, they will actually mine some of these things directly out of rocks, and in their sort of root-like structure, they will transport those right to the surface of a root.
Well, we only have a few minutes left, and so I just wanted, in the final moments, to talk about the analogy between what's going on in the soil under our feet and what's going on in our gut.
Yeah, that was really interesting for Dave and I. We've been reading all of these plant science papers, and then when we transitioned to the microbiome, the human microbiome in particular, we learned that most of our microbiome is concentrated in our gut, in our digestive tract. And of the parts of our digestive tract that are richest in microbial life, it's the colon. It's the very bottom part. And remarkably, we all need to start thinking about our colons completely differently, because they're not an onboard garbage can. They are far more like a medicine chest. And the rhizosphere that I talked about previously with plants, well, it turns out there's sort of an analogous place in our colon. And it happens to be where the mucus in our colon overlies colon cells. And that area is incredibly rich in microbial activity. And there are incessant exchanges, endless exchanges between the microbes that live in that mucus layer in our colon, but also in the central cavity of the colon where all of the stuff is moving through. And in our case, as mammals, we have immune cells clustered right on the outside of our colon wall, and the microbes in the mucus and in the colon are communicating with our immune cells. So our immune cells are like our version of a defensive system. And when we learned this, that's when we went, wow, the root is the gut, and the gut is the root. We've got these incredibly active zones in which food basically attracts particular microbial communities to these places, and it underpins the health of both plants and people.
Well, at this point, we're going to have to pause until I'd really like to have you and Dave back on the show. Maybe we can arrange to do it sometime in the next 6 weeks or so.
Sure.
Because we just have scratched the surface. And so if you want to know more about this before I actually do this next show with Anne B. Clay and her husband, Dave Montgomery, you can read the book, The Hidden Half of Nature, The Microbial Roots of Life and Health, and we'll tell you in just a moment how you can do that. So thanks a whole lot for joining us, Anne.
Yes, thank you. Quite a pleasure.
And I look forward to talking to you again. So stick around. We're going to talk with Justin for a few minutes about why you need to support KABU. And I'm going to say right off the bat that if you have been really drawn into this conversation, you'd like to learn more, become a member of KABU right now by calling 877-500-5266. And for a pledge of $60 or more, you can receive a copy as a thank you gift of The Hidden Half of Nature, The Microbial Roots of Life and Health by Anne B. Clay, my guest today, and her husband, David Montgomery.
That is absolutely right, Barbara. You can get a copy of The Hidden Half of Nature for a modest $60 or more contribution. That's $5 a month. And because we're in a matching period right now, if you're a new member, that $5 would become $15 a month. Please don't leave money on the table during the last day of our winter membership drive. We're asking you to call right now, 877-500-5266. Of course, we're always online at KBOO.FM. Kyler got in touch and renewed a membership in Portland. Thank you so much, Kyler, and you are blazing trail for all those others who have yet to move to their phone and call 877-500-5266. You know, you tune into KABU because the other media sources leave you feeling lonely. They don't address the kinds of things that the real community are. You know why? Because they're not concerned about the community. They're concerned about corporate advertisers, but not here at KABU. KABU is training citizen journalists to come in every hour of every day and bring you and your family and your community real news, real information made by real people with real voices. David gets the gist of it in Portland. He renewed. Thank you so much, David. And there's room for more of you aboard the mighty 90.7. 877-500-KBOO. You tune in because you realize you're not the only one who's angry. You're not the only one who's in favor of climate justice. You're not the only one who wants people's access to the airwaves. When you tune into KABU, you get this solidarity. You're linked up with all sorts of people listening around Portland, around Oregon, around the United States, and around the world at KBOO.FM. Please take advantage of this matching period right now by calling 877-500-KBOO. You link up and you engage in radio solidarity, and that enriches everyone's life. 877-500-KBOO. There's really, I love the metaphor, Barbara, that's being brought here, that we can look at the health of the body, we can look at the health of the environment, we can look at the health of the community, and it's not hyperbolic to say there's this information communication system going on, whether that's in the body or whether that's KABU for the community. 877-500-5266. Just a couple of minutes left to take advantage of this matching period. I mean, imagine that you can give money and have that doubled or tripled. And really, the real benefit comes to the entire community because the signal is different when you're a stakeholder. Don't take my word for it.
It's in color.
Try it out. It's in color. It's like moving from black and white to color. That's so important that you say that, Barbara, because this is Radio Technicolor right here. 877-500-5266. I know I'm hogging this thing, but those phones are ringing and we really want to reach out to people. I mean, Barbara and I are standing on the shoulders of giants right now, and that's the thousands upon thousands of people who have kept this vital resource going for decades and decades. We're so grateful, but imagine if more than 10% of the listeners right now, I mean, there's 100% of listeners. Think about that. There's 100% of people are listening. 10% of those people have made the call. Why don't we get to thank you, dear listener, the next time? Toll free, 877-500-KBOO.
Well, thank you, Justin, and I hope that everybody heeds your call and becomes part of the symbiotic community between our listeners and our radio here at KABU. We've been talking this morning with Ann B. Clay, who's co-author of The Hidden Half of Nature, The Microbial Roots of Life and Health. And you've been listening to Locus Focus here on KBOO Community Radio. If you're just tuning in and you would like to hear what you missed, or you want your friends or family to hear the show, you can listen to it online or download the audio later this afternoon on our website, kboo.fm/locusfocus. Next week, we'll talk with Jason Mark, author of Satellites in the High Country, about finding wildness in a human-dominated world. My engineer is Sam. I'm Barbara Bernstein. We're going to go out with some music by Cassandra Wilson. Thanks for listening. A spear, a spike, a point, a nail, a trip, a drop. The end of a tale, a truckload of bricks in the soft morning light. The sound of a gun in the dead of the night. A mile of mustard. This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company, PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 2435 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. Information at 503-225-1359 or wilkincpas.com.
KBOO would like to thank the restaurants that donated food for our volunteers today. Bread and Ink Cafe for providing breakfast, located at 3610 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, serving the community breakfast, lunch, and dinner for more than 30 years. Voodoo Donuts, located at 1501 Northeast Davis, for providing donuts, where the magic is in the hole. The Observatory Restaurant and Over and Out for providing dinner, located at 8115 Southeast Stark, serving dinners, lunches, happy hour, cocktails, desserts, and brunch on the weekends in the Monta Villa neighborhood. Mississippi Pizza for providing dinner, located at 3552 North Mississippi Avenue, open at 7:30 a.m. every day and serving breakfast till 3 p.m. Lunch is served on weekdays after 11 a.m.
And this is KBOO Portland. The time is 11 a.m. And coming up next on the Radio Zine, we hear a talk by writer, attorney, and activist Van Jones. Jones is a CNN political contributor and has founded and led numerous social enterprises engaged in social